Hello and welcome to a Super Sunday edition of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker. What a Sunday it is, Bob.
Yeah, the grass is freshly cut. We got the oldest quarterback going against the youngest quarterback. Wait a minute. What sport are we supposed to be talking about? I'm excited for the football season to be over. We can really focus on basketball.
Yeah, the Cardinals getting absolutely smashed 2 weeks ago kind of killed any desire I have for football for the next 9 months. So bring on the All-Star game and the Suns tank and the draft, and let's do it.
We're going to do the Brick House game show later in the episode, but I got a quick question for you.
Oh, man.
Super Bowl question.
Yeah.
Do you think Peyton Manning has more touchdowns or more commercial appearances in the Super Bowl?
Oh, wow. Does it have to be different company commercials?
No, any commercial appearance versus touchdowns.
Oh, man, I'm going commercial appearances, though.
Yeah, that's probably a good call.
You got to think he'll probably get one commercial a quarter, at least. Uh-huh. He's getting one Papa John's. He's getting nationwide, potentially.
Maybe some soup with J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Do they eat soup together? I feel like they do.
No, they do the Papa John's together.
Oh, okay.
So they are together in a thing, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What a crazy week in the NBA. Crazy stats, especially on Wednesday night.
That was one of the craziest stat nights in a long time, I'd have to say.
Yeah, just on that night, Curry had 51 points, including 25 in the first quarter. Draymond Green had a triple-double with 5 blocks. John Wall had 41 points and 10 assists, and that was all in one game.
Yeah.
Lots of good drama. Of course, when we want to watch a comedy, we can always turn to the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, man.
Always been overflowing well of comedy in Sacramento. And, man, the NBA gets hotter and hotter for coaches on their hot seat. And George Karl is the latest one who has rumored to be on his way out in Sacramento.
Is he the latest one, or is he just the continuation of the same rumor that started the day after he signed to be the coach?
That's true. But 4 coaches have fallen before him. Now we have the add Hornacek to the list of Kevin McHale, Lionel Hollins, and David Blatt. So far fired this season.
That was a mercy killing for Hornacek, I think. From what I understand, is the perception of him hadn't soured as much as they just didn't think he was reaching the players anymore. I think everyone still liked him in the organization.
Yeah, maybe so.
And in the media and things in Phoenix, but they just realized, and you could tell that might have been the case, because the first game after, Markieff Morris came out and had his best game of the season.
Yeah.
But he claims he doesn't hate Jeff Hornacek, which, you know, he probably does, but...
Yeah, it's just a towel fight. It's like sorority sisters having a pillow fight.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah, some of the coaches who are still in place are just for obvious tanking purposes, I'm guessing, with Sam Mitchell in Minnesota and Byron Scott in L.A. One of the great games this past week was Warriors versus Wizards, the one we're talking about, and Randy Whitman wasn't there. Another coach who will probably not survive past this season. Randy Whitman sadly lost his brother and missed the game, which we expected. You know, if you're gonna be at your brother's funeral, and not be at a basketball game. What I was not expecting was that Marlon Brando from Apocalypse Now was going to fill in for Coach of the Wizards.
That's a good one. I didn't even think of that as a reference.
The Don Newman, the assistant coach for the Wizards, yeah, has this massive eye patch on and bald head.
Yeah. He is a very imposing figure. Sitting there, he's big guy with the bald head eye patch. Like, you just set him, why don't you just set him on the sidelines and just have him stand the whole game staring at the other team?
Like General Patton.
Yeah.
So, Matt, if George Karl gets fired this month, it will be the 15th coach fired in the NBA in the past 15 months.
Ooh-wee.
And the 3rd coach fired in the past 15 months by the Kings.
Man, it's starting to be a trend. with the, yeah. the Kings.
Every one per month.
Yeah, but also with the Kings, you don't... The best way to have stability is to, you know, actually have something that's stable. And,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Built into the word there.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean firing three coaches in 15 months. Honestly, it might be worth a shot for the Kings to, if they're going to fire George Karl, maybe give their next coach like 4 years just to see.
Oh, they've got like happens. Four coaches on 4-year deals. They're still paying.
Yeah, that's true. Vivek just want to keep handing out all the...
I have read that he's really going to have to talk to the assistant, or not the assistant, but the co-owners or the minority owners about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it comes out, they have to really foot the bill for all these coaches.
Right.
A graveyard of coaches that they're still paying.
Well, look at... Okay, so let's take, for example, go back to football. Ron Rivera, the coach of the Panthers. This is his fifth year. And he went 6-10, 7-9, 12-4, but then 7-8-1 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not... He made the playoffs once, but that's kind of up and down. I made the playoffs twice. They made it with a sub-500 record, but still, they were by no means a great team. So you could get antsy and pull the trigger and fire them, or you go 15-1 this year and go to the Super Bowl. Like, it, sometimes it pays to be a little bit more patient instead of get all antsy. Because they could have seen last year, why did we go sub-500? We have Cam Newton and we have some of these guys. Let's get a big, like a... some random coach in here to take him to the next level. But so maybe you just stick it out with George Karl a little bit. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause George Karl, by the way,
one of the winningest coaches of all time.
Yeah. Maybe you could argue he's one of the best coaches to never win a championship.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's a bad coach. That means he just hasn't won a championship.
Yeah, you know, at this point, maybe Vivek's got to look at the mirror, you know, say maybe it's not the coaches that are the problem.
He got rid of those mirrors years ago, Bob.
You know, with the high turnover rate really got me thinking, and I wanted to tell you about a story that my college roommate told me when we were first living together in college.
Yeah.
He had this high school teacher who was so sick of teaching high school, he thought the kids were such jerks, that he quit. You know, teachers is actually a pretty high turnover job.
Oh, yeah.
But not only did he quit, he took a job at a sewage treatment facility instead. And
So he hated kids so much, he would rather work with sewage.
Yeah, he would rather work with sewage. And I don't remember exactly what his title was, but my college roommate Stretch just called him a shit diver. And so when he decided that he wasn't going to coach high school anymore, he came into the high school class, a bunch of sophomores, and explained to them, you know, he hates them so much that he is leaving high school, and his job is going to be whenever there's a problem at the sewage treatment facility and it's in one of their big tanks, puts on a suit, dives in the shit water to go underwater in the shit water and fix stuff. And so he's explaining to the students, like, I would rather do this than spend another minute with you people.
That is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so good.
I thought to myself, you know, the shit divers, that's probably going to be a pretty high turnover position too. You know, and what were some other high turnover positions like NBA coaches? I thought I made a short list.
Okay.
Of them, and I wanted to compare these jobs to some coaches. I figured rodeo clown, that's got to be a pretty high turnover position.
Yeah.
By design kamikaze pilot.
Ooh.
High turnover.
Yeah, not too many of them go on second missions, I would say.
I haven't really heard of one of these, but maybe we're just in the wrong country for it. Tasmanian devil handler. It's probably lose a lot of fingers.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
I guess it would have to be a thing. Okay.
A martyr, that's a high turnover.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
And a cleaner of elephant cages.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, it's probably one where, you know, if you were to take a job like that, like, you would really have to hate your high school students. So if you were to compare these positions to some of the coaches that have lost their jobs recently, I would have to say Kevin McHale would be the Tasmanian Devil handler.
That's a great one.
You know, unbeknownst to him, he was always destined to have his star player rip his arms off and beat him to death with him.
Yeah.
Kevin McHale's arms, that are.
Yeah.
Hornacek, I thought, was the perfect kamikaze pilot because his mission the first year was to crash the fucking plane, and he really messed that up.
He really messed it up. Yeah.
He had 48 wins instead.
Not only did he not crash the plane, he bombed his enemies successfully. Okay. Yeah, but by then, he was like, no, I can, trust me, like, I can really fly the plane into the ship now. And they're like,
I'll do it. Yeah, they traded away all of his point guards, and finally, he got that down, but a little too late. Lionel Hollins, I'd have to say, is the cleaner of elephant cages.
Yeah.
He was just
shoveling
up messes that were left there by Billy King for
the past
5 years.
That whole franchise is an elephant cage.
David Blatt is definitely the martyr.
Yeah.
I'd say that. I mean, he went down and was, for the most part, innocent of any wrongdoing. Maybe even like an accused witch is more of the appropriate description
for
David Blatt being run out of town.
They were just looking for an excuse to string him up.
Yeah. I think George Carl would make the perfect rodeo clown. I feel like, you know, half the King's entertainment value is just watching him, like, get put in a barrel and then releasing the 2-ton bull DeMarcus Cousins into the arena with him.
And the 2-ton bull's little short sidekick, Rondo.
Yeah.
The little shorter bull.
Byron Scott is definitely the shit diver. If you watch his face, whatever D'Angelo Russell makes a mistake, looks like he'd rather be swimming in shit than putting up with these kids for another season. Good move by him, because he won't be back another season.
Did you see Don McLean, former UCLA and NBA vet who does the Clippers broadcast, what he said about Byron Scott?
I saw he said something. What did he say?
He just said that, you look out there and it's uninspired, and he's seen old offensive sets. He's not seen any innovation. He's not seen any, like, creativity. He just went off on him and basically said that – I think Byron said that they're a defensive team, so they're going to do defensive first, but he's not even seen that. He just
– Yeah, wow. Yeah. Did Byron respond?
Yeah, I don't think he was too pleased, Bob. But
how many championships did you win on the Clippers? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into a few game show questions. Bring this segment back for a spin on Super Sunday.
And now here's the host of the Brickhouse Game Show, Bob Johnson.
So I got a question for you here, Matt. There was a recent game where Eastern Conference player had this quote after a win in Charlotte. I was at the YMCA around the corner 2 years ago. Now I'm here.
Oh, wow.
Which Eastern Conference player who had 10 blocks in the game said this after a win in Charlotte?
Whiteside, Bob?
Hassan Whiteside is the correct answer.
Even before you said blocks, that's the only guy I could think of that would have that, so...
You know, after we did our free agent, overrated free agent podcast last week, ESPN put Whiteside and Rondo at the top of the list of most overrated potential superstars or upcoming free agents.
So they're listening to the podcast is what you're saying.
Obviously, ripping off our ideas,
right?
ESPN. Here's another one for you. What Western Conference player who shares an agent with Rocket center Dwight Howard is excited to go to dinner with him this offseason if Dwight opts out of his deal and becomes a free agent?
Could you repeat the question, please, Bob?
Okay, which Western Conference player who shares an agent with Rocket center Dwight Howard is really excited to go to dinner with him to court him in free agency when Dwight opts out of his deal this summer? Who wants to go to dinner with Dwight Howard? Maybe 4 or 5 nights in a row on Mark Cuban's dime.
Chandler Parsons.
Chandler Parsons. Although I looked it up, I'm not sure if Mark Cuban's going to pay the bill for these dinners, even though Chandler and Dwight are friends back, dating back from their time in Florida. Parsons is from Orlando.
Right.
A max deal for Dwight Howard, if he signs one this summer, would be start at $30 million a year.
Yeah.
And his fifth year would be $40 million.
That's insane. That's, you can't. I don't.
He would be 36 his 17th NBA season.
It's not my money.
Yeah.
I'm not the one paying the bill. And even then, I still can't. I can't do that.
Has he been? I don't think he's been an all-star since he's gone to Houston.
I'll look that up for you right now, Bob.
I read an interesting story. I'd be surprised if you know the answer to this question, but I just wanted to bring it up as a topic. What top 10 high school prep star said this week he's considering declaring for the 2016 NBA draft directly from prep school?
Thon Maker?
It is Jonathan Isaac, although I'm excited about Thon Maker coming to the NBA.
I'm excited for him to hopefully go to Arizona State for a season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys got the duffel bags full of money ready for him?
Hey, I wouldn't spend $40 million on Dwight Howard, but I'd give 40 bucks to the cause for Thon Maker. Dwight was an all-star his first year in Houston.
Okay, okay.
That was his eighth straight all-star game. So Isaac, this kid, you can't come straight out of high school, but prep school technically is not high school, so you could come out, right?
Prep school is technically high school.
Like I said.
He is trying to get around through a loophole that is recently developed because of the NBA's decision to allow kids to declare for the draft and then back out if they feel like their stock isn't high enough, just so they can, you know, gauge their draft stock.
I think this just changed. I think that's a good rule.
It's a good rule, right? But immediately Isaac and his people found a way to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked about it before, but a lot of these high school prep stars, what they'll do is in sixth or seventh grade, when they're showing this super ability to play basketball, their parents will hold them back a grade.
Right. Right.
Hold them back a grade so they develop the super confidence, dominate kids
right.
that are a year younger than them. And then when they get to high school, after their sophomore year, if they're ranked nationally or ranked high enough, then they can just skip their junior year and go directly into their senior year so they don't miss, so they don't start their freshman year of high school or freshman year of college at 19. So this guy did this, right? Which means that, let me read you how it's written in the NBA rule here. So the vagaries of the rule states that a player is eligible for the draft if the player is or will be at least 19 years of age during the calendar year in which the draft is held. B, with respect to a player who's not an international player, at least one NBA season has elapsed since the player's graduation from high school, or if the player did not graduate from high school since the graduation of the class with which the player would have graduated had he graduated from high school. So this means that his first year was in 2011 of high school. So that means he would have graduated in 2015. But he held himself back a year, so he's actually graduating in 2016. But he would have graduated, and that's how it is written in the eligibility rules.
Okay.
And this means, it could even end up being that the guy starts his NBA career by suing the NBA to allow him to play in the NBA.
Wow.
He's a 6'10" player from Florida. His game has been compared to Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he's going to Florida State.
He's committed to Florida State, but is deciding about his options here.
That's real weird.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a multiple choice question for you. Okay. I don't know if you've heard this news, but I find it exciting. Which current NBA player is starting his own podcast on Adrian Wojnarowski's The Vertical Podcast Network? Got the multiple choice for you. A, Meta World Peace. B, J.J. Redick. C, Draymond Green. or D, Joel Embiid?
Wow.
Had you heard about this?
No, I haven't. You know what? I'm going to say Embiid because Embiid is currently hurt and appears that like he will be hurt for the rest of his life.
Yeah. It's not Embiid, although I thought it would probably be a good choice for him to, you know, at least find a second option for his career, maybe talking about basketball.
Draymond Green, okay, so I don't think it's Draymond, because Draymond, if he would do a podcast, he would put it on that one site that he's a part of.
Right, he's with Uninterrupted.
Yeah, so he would do it through that. Artest seems like such a easy answer. Is it Redick?
J.J. Redick is going to be doing podcast even during the season.
Amazing.
So my last question for you here, Matt. If JJ wanted to get great ratings for his show, which Clippers teammate should be his first guest?
Ooh. Okay.
You might have heard about him in the news for unbasketball-related reasons.
Blake Griffin? Is that who we're going with?
That's who we're going
with. Is that his first guest?
Yes. It hasn't been announced, but okay. I think that would be pretty wise if it was.
Yeah.
And Blake's got to say something eventually, so. So let's go into our new segment, or not a new segment, but our next one.
Basically, Nostradamus.
I'm going to ask you who you think's going to win these All-Star events.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this one.
Hopefully Jimmy Butler's not too hurt that the East has to replace him, but we'll just go from who's currently on the schedule for the weekend. The dunk contest contestants were announced. Will Barton from Denver, Gordon from Orlando, reigning champion Zach LaVine from Minnesota, and Andre Drummond, the only all-star competing in the event. You had to pick a winner. Who would you go with there, Matt?
Repeat again. So it's Barton?
Barton, Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, Andre Drummond.
I think the winner is probably Zach LaVine because he's a great dunker.
He is an amazing dunker. If you had to pick an upset,
Pick an upset, I would pick Aaron Gordon.
Nice. That's actually who I was going to say as well. I don't think he has the same like skills for dunking that Zach LaVine has, but he could definitely dunk over a Kia.
And Drummond's just too big, I think.
Yeah.
I know Gordon's also big, but Drummond's just that much bigger. You know?
I'm excited to see what Drummond's going to do.
Okay, so yeah, I think LaVine with the upset pick of Aaron Gordon.
It would be cool if he just like kept defending it like Ken Jennings or something every year.
Yeah, I like that.
The three-point contest has some interesting players in it.
Oh, man, this is a great one.
Yeah, both of the Splash Brothers are in, Curry and Thompson. Mr. Podcast himself, J.J. Redick, Chris Middleton, James Harden, Kyle Lowry, Chris Bosh, and Devin Booker. And Devin Booker, who at 19 years, 109 days, will be the youngest participant in All-Star Weekend ever.
Wow. Okay.
And he's been having a real good season since Hornacek went down. I think he's been averaging 18 points a game since Hornacek was fired.
Yeah, well, what helped him was Bledsoe and Knight both going down.
Right.
So the Suns have been playing Goodwin and Booker, which is actually, you know, if you're going to lose games, you might as well get Goodwin and Booker some work. So, and you know, you don't really, you just replace two Kentucky guys with two more Kentucky guys. So that's a lot of names, a lot of potential. Right off the bat, you want to go Curry, but I'm not going Curry. I'd look at an upset pick as a Chris Middleton, just someone who has no chance of winning in the eyes of people.
That would be a good way to get his name on the board.
Yeah.
I think a lot of fans probably still don't know who Chris Middleton
is. Yeah. I'll say Redick. I'll give the podcaster the win.
Nice. Nice.
Has Redick won one before?
I don't think so, but he is leading the league in three-point percentage this year.
He's having a great year.
His best season yet. I'm going to give it to Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, he is probably putting in some extra hours to make a big splash at the three-point contest, you know, show his chops as a point guard next to the guy who's already being considered the greatest point guard of all time, Chef Curry.
Yeah, Curry won last year. The year before was Bellinelli. Redick has not won a three-point contest. So.
You know, I'm actually pretty excited to see Chris Bosh in this contest as well. You know, his event was canceled this year.
The long shooting stars. The long distance half court shot.
That's how I know it, as Chris Bosh shooting half court shots.
Yeah.
They've actually won the last 3 years in a row, the team of Chris Bosh, Dominique Wilkins, and Swim Cash.
Yeah, so they got rid of that.
After 12 years, it is gone the way of the dodo.
Gone the way of the two ball.
I guess Bosh and Cash and Wilkins could, you know, just consider themselves like they officially buried that event.
That's theirs.
Retired and rode off into the sunset.
Right.
Despite lobbying from Cavs owner LeBron James, J.R. Smith was not chosen to be in the three-point contest.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to see any hoverboards this weekend.
Well, he'll be there. Oh, he will.
Smith actually ranks 18th all-time in three-pointers made as of Friday and is 9th among active players.
Wow.
And of the 8 active players ahead of him on the all-time list, only 2 of them have ever been invited to the three-point contest, who was Jamal Crawford and Vince Carter.
Huh, okay.
Little factoids for you.
Wow.
There's another competition, the new Big Man and Little Man Taco Bell Skills Competition.
Yeah, very weird.
Players will have to dribble while eating a Taco Bell AM Crunch Wrap.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to throw passes through a tire after dipping their hands in Taco Bell fire sauce. And they will have to make a three-pointer while balancing a Taco Bell Mexican pizza on their heads.
Yeah, of course.
They're really not shy about those advertising dollars for this event. The contestants in this competition, I don't really understand if it's the big men just going to be doing the same competition that the point guards have been doing this whole time.
I don't know. That's what confused me.
Do the big men get like a head start, like 15 seconds or something?
I'll look into that for you, Bob.
Okay, well, this is going to be a hard one to pick, but the returning champ in this competition is Rockets guard Patrick Beverley. And he is competing against C.J. McCollum, Isaiah Thomas, Jordan Clarkson, and then the big men, DeMarcus Cousins, Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, and Draymond M.F.N. Green.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like here. I don't know what the contest is. Isaiah Thomas, I'm down for some Isaiah Thomas victory in this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the competition is either, but I know if Taco Bell's involved, there's probably going to be some violent messes made for the shit divers of the world. Yeah.
So it's a head-to-head bracket-style tournament format, the same one they used last year. 2 players to compete simultaneously on an identical course with the fastest finisher reaching the next round. It doesn't say how they'll be bracketed up, but you got to think, maybe they'll go big men versus big men, small men versus small men.
Yeah. I guess it would be kind of insulting to give them a head start, but clearly Isaiah Thomas is faster than DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes.
Let's get into our next segment, Matt. Yo mama is so fat! I don't know if you saw, but the Spurs really kicked the Mavs' butts badly this past week. And rookie for the Mavs, Salah Majuri.
Yes.
He made this dunk in the first half of the game versus the Spurs, and then just like screamed in Greg Popovich's direction. The problem was the Mavs were down by 22 points.
Ooh, yeah.
And Pop's reaction was classic Pop, really funny, just asking. He was just laughing at this guy screaming, and you could see him mouthing the words like, what did I do? He even like walks back to the end of the bench. Tim Duncan's not playing, but he's sitting behind the bench in street clothes, and Duncan and Pop are just like talking back and forth, laughing at the prospect of this guy, you know, throwing a dunk down and screaming in the coach's face.
Oh, that's good.
When they're getting blown out.
That's great.
Yeah, Wes Matthews said that it was probably the most embarrassing game he's ever been a part of on any level.
Okay, so Bob, we have the Suns are officially the 4th worst team in the league right now. So
okay.
we have We have
Ben Simmons watch.
Yeah, so here's the Simmons watch. We have the Sixers have 8 wins. The Lakers have 11 wins. The Nets slash Celtics, because the Celtics get the Nets pick this year, regardless of where it falls.
Right.
The Nets have 13 wins, and the Suns have 14 wins, okay? So 2 through 4 right now is, I mean, number one is within reach of all these teams, but 2 through 4 is really close, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I have the last 4 teams here. There are 2 games this week before the All-Star break.
Okay.
So we're going to look and see how we think by the next podcast if any of these teams will gain ground on each other, okay?
Nice.
So we'll start with the 76ers. Their 2 games this week are home against the Clippers and home against the Kings. Now, right off the bat, you got to say they have the potential to go 1-1. They could maybe beat the Kings at home.
Yeah, the Kings could... Players got to know that if they took a dive in that one, they could get rid of their coach
right
by the end of the night.
So, yeah, if they really want to get rid of Carl, that might be the way to do it. But
I heard that the Carl rumors really started churning after the Kings lost to Brooklyn. They lost so badly to Brooklyn that Divac and Vivek were, like, running through the halls screaming off with Carl's head.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it seems like they might just go 0-2.
Yeah.
Clippers and Kings. So then we move on to the Lakers. The Lakers are at Indiana and at Cleveland.
That's a double L.
That's a double L right there, I think. Indiana's been kind of disappointing this year. Or not really disappointing as much as you kind of see that their run of are they a potential finals team? That run's kind of over for the time being.
Byron Scott's putting on his snorkel for some shit diving after those 2 games.
Yeah, so that's a double loss. So then let's move to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Okay, so this
Do they have a chance?
They are at home against Denver and home against Memphis.
Memphis is hot. Memphis is going to beat them.
Okay, so the Denver at home, that's a potential victory right there.
Will Barton's going to make sure he doesn't roll an ankle, that's for sure.
Yeah, so are we thinking, what are we thinking? We might get a win out of Brooklyn this week? I still think 0-2, to be honest.
I think Gallinari likes going home to New York. I think he's going to have a good game there.
Okay.
I'm going to say 2 losses as well.
Okay, well then we move to the Suns, and the Suns 2 games this week, they're both home games. Let me tell you this, they're both home games, so right off the bat. You're thinking maybe they'll get a
Spurs.
Home victory. The Thunder and the Warriors.
Oh.
Those are the 2. But
rolled a couple of snake eyes there.
Hey, don't worry. It looks up for the Suns. Here's the Suns' next 5 games. Home against the Thunder. Home against the Warriors. Home against the Rockets. Home against the Spurs. At Clippers.
Wow.
That's if you want to tank... This is a tank situation. We are
get Ben Simmons some courtside seats.
Yes, we are. Then they go, but then after that they go to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So what you really want to do is you really want to lose these next 5 games and then cement it
with a loss
to Brooklyn.
Yes,
because if you beat Brooklyn, the team that's one step closer to the number one pick than you, then all that losing that five games is all for naught.
Matt, do you really think the Suns are going to take someone who's not from Kentucky?
We'll look into that, Bob. we'll dial up our sources. I saw NBADraft.net, one of the sites I like to go to, actually dropped LeBrisier from the 2016 mock draft and put him in the 2017 mock draft. So
they're just prescribing that he stays.
Yeah, that he stays. So, and I think that's the right move. I've said that for. Ever since we went to that UCLA-Kentucky game and he just disappeared for the next month.
Right.
And I think Calipari even said it too. But there you go. So I guess we're looking at 0-2s for the worst 4 teams in the league this week.
The race to the bottom continues.
Yep.
On the next episode of Brick House.
I really think that I've come up with a way to make our podcast more popular.
Okay, what is it?
We're gonna leak to Adrian Wojnarowski that if the Golden State Warriors trade Harrison Barnes, find someone to trade for Andre Iguodala, if they renounce the rights to Sean Livingston, they will have the cap space to sign LeBron James this offseason.
Ooh.
So
wow.
I think pretty much we just figured out.
We just figured out how LeBron's getting to Golden State.
LeBron's going to be on Golden State pretty much like 4 or 5 months from now.
What does this work with their inevitable trade for and sign and trade for Kevin Durant?
Oh, yeah. I'm already – yeah. Kevin Durant's already on the Warriors,
okay.
according to Woj and Rousey.
Yeah.
So they're going to have Draymond, Thompson, Curry, LeBron, Durant.
And seven guys named Joe?
No, I think they're actually holding out. They're going to wait for Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. They're also going to be available, but it's 2 years from now.
Yeah. You
know, they're going to have to – they'll probably have to trade Festus Ezeli to get those guys.
Don't forget about that trade to get Ben Simmons in the draft, too.
Ben Simmons, yeah. He's already declared he's going to the Warriors.
Yeah. The big Durant to the Warriors news this week, rumored.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You know, like if the Bulls in 96, I was, only 10, 11 years old, but I don't remember this team going around the country having, you know, half of the away games be filled with Bulls fans. You know, they're 45-4, and I don't remember any media member ever suggesting, like, well, you know, maybe this summer they'll trade for David Robinson.
Yeah, maybe they need Hakeem Olajuwon.
Better break this team up. You know, they're only the defending champions, and they haven't lost since last year. What I find so crazy, I was telling you before we started, that everyone expected, much like the 2010 season when LeBron's impending free agency, that was all anyone could talk about, the speculation of where they're going to go. And I expected that. As a basketball fan, I really kind of enjoy those rumors.
Right. Oh, yeah, they're great.
But this week, the pervasive story of Durant going to the Warriors, I just find kind of ridiculous. And, you know, a testament to how the Warriors have dominated this season's storyline, that we can't even talk about what was anticipated to be the biggest story of the year without including the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Of course, it was all leading up to this game last night, the night before the Super Bowl. But come on. He's not going to the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors would be dumb to do it.
You just don't break up the team that's the odds-on favorite to win their second straight championship.
Yeah, you don't have a team who's not only on the way to winning a championship, but to have the best record of all time. They're like, you know, we could really improve on this. Anyways, yeah, we'll get into more exclusively basketball talk after the Super Sunday wraps up, and we'll talk again soon next week. We'll be right back.